I'm Marco Werman with The World. When spring comes, the best part of it for me is starting up my roof garden again. The family gets fresh veggies, and yeah, it's container gardening, but it still connects me to the earth. Here's the thing. If the weather's bad and the plants fail, no biggie. There are supermarkets nearby. I know the kid will eat. Millions of families, though, around the world don't have that luxury. And for them, a small gardening plot can mean the difference between health and sickness, especially for young kids. But there's that extreme and unpredictable weather. From our Livable Planet desk, reporter Tipa Fernandez visited a farming area of Guatemala, where the weather has changed a lot recently, and that's left families struggling with a new reality. Here's part two of our series on kids and climate change.
Far up top of a mountain in a remote area of Guatemala called Comitancillo, there lives a pig and some kids.
Fernando Perez Mauricio.
Meet Oscar and Brian. They're 6 and 8, and they love the fact that a lady with a microphone has shown up. Their mum, like mums the world over, pushes them to sing for me. Cute, right? Yet behind their angelic grubbiness is a short lifetime of struggle. Their mother, Elvira Mauricio Diaz, dressed in her traditional Maya Mam skirt and top, is telling me about the difficulty she's faced in keeping her 6 children healthy, including her youngest, age 2, suckling at her breast. They're malnourished, which means a lot of trips down the mountain to find a doctor. There are no markets in Diaz's town, San Luis. The family's daily meals come straight from a small garden. It's called a milpa. It's very green, but it's also kind of in shambles. Diaz's little plots have been destroyed by a massive hailstorm, she tells me. And it wasn't the only weird weather recently. The past few months, it's begun raining heavily at 10 a.m., she says. The soil is too soft. It's not normal. And this worries her deeply because she hasn't been able to properly feed her children. It's a story I hear all over this part of Guatemala. Elio Ambrosio López teaches at a primary school in a nearby village. He says learning is a real challenge because many of his littlest students are malnourished.
Their minds are focused on the hunger they feel, and they can't concentrate on learning.
López grew up here, and he says he's now watching families struggle in ways that didn't used to happen.
Before, our grandparents had an exact day on which they would plant and cultivate the land. But if we follow the calendar they've always used, we won't grow anything anymore.
Today, there is so much sickness.
Midwife Maria Miranda Berdó says she's seen the impact on children in her village.
¿Por qué?
Why? I think it's because our weather is different. When it rains now, it's really heavy. But it wasn't like this before.
It's like the non-stop rain in the mountains of Comitancillo is making up for the previous years when suddenly the annual rainy season didn't come at all.
The last 4 years, not including the current year, have been extremely dry.
Edwin Castellanos is a professor in Guatemala City and the country's leading climate change expert. He says what the Maya Mam elders notice as unusual weather is related to the El Niño cycle. That's a natural phenomenon that causes swings between weather extremes. Scientists aren't exactly sure how much climate change is affecting the El Niño cycle, but they do know that in general, as the planet warms up, we're seeing more extreme weather events around the world. And that means more and more people, and especially children, will suffer the consequences. In the long term, Castellano says climate change could bring more dry weather to this country.
If you look at the models for climate change in the long range for Guatemala, they indicate that we are going to see a decrease in the rainfall gradually.
But he warns that too could have dire consequences unless communities find ways to adapt, which is what people in Comitancillo are doing. Hiking up a mountain in Comitancio, a little child dashes out and hands me a peach.
Durazno.
And he proudly points to some trees where it grew.
Aquí.
Not long ago, that would have been next to impossible in these cold mountains. But Estuardo Aguillon of the Mayamam Research and Development Association says the region's warming up.
Because at this time of year, it would be between 10 and 15 degrees centigrade. Now, it gets up to 16 degrees. It might not seem like much, but even half a degree hotter has generated so many changes.
And those changes are not all bad, Aguillon says. Warmer weather means better conditions for growing fruit. So his job is to help people learn how to do it. The group is also helping introduce new crops like cauliflower and beets.
These new crops contribute to the family's vegetable gardens and to a more nutritious diet.
That's Aguillon's colleague, Erwin Orozco. He's also helping families here set up new water conservation systems.
And now with climate change, families need to find ways to capture and save rainwater and then reuse it to water their small plots of produce.
One of those new systems is here at this small home, where a group of mothers and daughters enjoy perhaps the best dishwashing view in the world onto green mountaintops and vast plains. The water from the sink goes to a holding tank for watering their milpa. Out back, Orozco takes a tarp off a full tank of rainwater. It's part of a simple yet intricate system of gutters and pipes that he says can help families keep their milpas growing when it doesn't rain. But adaptation strategies like these are all works in progress, and elders here say it hasn't been easy. They cost money and involve big changes to traditional ways. It's one thing to grow new crops, but then how to cook them? And will kids actually eat them? The family of a boy named Darwin has been giving some of this a try. Darwin is a strapping little toddler. He lost his mother right after he was born, so his grandmother is raising him. She tells me her name is Ofelia Miranda Miranda, and she says Darwin was healthy when he was born. But he quickly lost weight. He got very sick, and Miranda didn't know what to do. She got help from a community worker named Araceli Marroquin, who's also translating for me. First, she had to plant different crops, Miranda says. And then she was cooking them all wrong and losing all their nutrients. But she soon learned better techniques, as well as how to make the veggies tasty for Darwin. Miranda blows on the coals of a small open fire in her mud brick cooking hut, and flames begin to dance around the pot. Darwin looks on eagerly. The bowls come out and his grandmother dishes out a hearty soup. It's a peach atoll, a new twist on the traditional corn-based porridge using stewed peaches from Miranda's tree as a natural sweetener. As we eat, Miranda tells us how much her grandson likes to eat now, how much healthier he is. It's a small sign that here in the mountains of Guatemala, where so many kids have been battered by extreme weather and the changing climate, efforts to adapt to the changes might be helping. Miranda also wants to know when she might get help building a water catchment system. She's heard they work, and she'd like one. For The World, Tipa Fernandez, Comitancio, Guatemala.
Tipa's reporting was supported by a grant from the International Women's Media Foundation. Tomorrow, our series on kids and climate change continues with a visit to the Galapagos Islands. The whole series is also online at PRI.org.